Normally, I don't go to university to teach. Normally, students have to learn about outside world. The chance for students to learn about the world within is very rare. When I teach people who are not interested, it really requires a lot of energy. It's very hard. So that's why normally I don't go to university to teach. But here they welcome outsiders. And people are more mature. Actually, Dhamma is suitable for everyone. I myself learned Dhamma since I was 7 years old. But it's hard to find people who have true interest in Buddhist Dhamma. Actually, Buddhism teaching is priceless. It is a science that teaches us how to live without suffering, or live with the minimum pain and suffering. In another angle, if you look at it, it's a life with freedom and liberated. People are looking for freedom, but each of us is a slave to the defilements, and all the wanting inside is ordering us all day. We never know that we are a slave, but the Buddha's teaching will liberate us. We'll know that it's different. In the past, it's like we were born in jail, and we are in jail for the rest of our life. We never know that we're actually in a cell. But the Buddhism practice, when we start practicing, we know that we are. And when we practice, we become free. It cannot compare with any happiness in the world. Most people are looking for happiness because they have suffering. But happiness is like a shadow. It's as if you are about to get it, but then it goes away. You're chasing a shadow. The Buddha didn't teach us to get that happiness. It fools us. But when we don't have any pain, we actually are happy. And the Buddha teaches us how to get that happiness in our heart. His teaching is perfect. He taught about the cause of the suffering and the condition where there is no more suffering and how to go to that condition without any suffering. This is a process that he found since 2,600 years ago. But all the analysts is walking behind us like by 1,000 years. Like myself, when I graduated, I work in a planning with the government to solve a lot of countries' problems. My seniors taught me to think about the Four Noble Truths. First of all, know the suffering, what type of problems are there, and analyze the problems. And what is the main problem, what is the secondary problem, what is the long term or short term. And then know what is the cause of that suffering. When we know the cause, then we know how to get rid of that. By get rid of the source of the problems. If we don't get rid of the source of the problem, we can't really get rid of the problem. We have to get rid of the source. When we know what we have to solve, then we solve the main one first. And if the main ones cannot be solved, then go to the secondary. Each of them weigh differently. Like in our life as well. If there is a lot of problems in our life, then we see the main problem and find the process. And then we have to look into ourselves. What type of resources do we have? If we want to solve this one problem, can we do this? And what is the effect if we solve it? But if we choose this one method, it might have a bad impact. Then we'll see another way. So you see, the current way of fixing problems is not so far from the Four Noble Truths. We know what suffering is and the cause and how to get rid of the source. So the end goal of the Buddhism practicing is to end the suffering. Like in the Buddha's day, for the monks, when he ordained those monks, the Buddha would say, come to become a monk in order to reach the end of suffering. So the end goal of being a Buddhist is to end the suffering with the right path, that is the self-discipline, meditation, and wisdom. So the end goal is not to get rich, become wealthy or lucky. Some places teach people to practice and then do a lot of good deeds in order to get rich. Sell your house and make donation. But no, Buddhism doesn't aim at the wealth or fame or being pretty, no. Why? Because nothing is permanent. If we are practicing in order to get something that is to fall away, what's the point? For example, like when we may invest in the stock market, it may just go away one day. Buddhism will lead us to learn about ourselves in order to end up suffering. And then when there's no suffering, we don't talk about happy or not happy anymore, because if there's no suffering, that's happiness. Now, try to think back in the past, the moment that we are happy the most, what occasion that we are most happy, it's already in the past. So if you are looking for happiness, it keep going away. But on the flip side, if there's no suffering, whatever happened, you don't have any suffering, no pain. That's much better. We can withdraw our heart from all the suffering through the Buddha's teaching. He teaches about the world, not the geography. The world in the Buddhism is the form and matter that is ourselves. If we truly understand, it's like the Buddha chanting, Ittipisopakawa. And one word in that is about the person who truly understands the world. The world is the form and the matter that is ourself. If we truly know that the body is impermanent, it stays temporarily and only made up of different elements. One day it will go away back to the earth. If we are practicing, we will truly see that this body is impermanent, it's not self. Soon it will go away. If the mind can accept this, anything that arises in the body, the suffering is remains in the body, but the mind won't have to suffer. If the body, which is the source of the suffering, become old, sickened, then the mind will not be shaken. Nowadays, if the body is old, then we worry because the good side, the good thing is sick. So when the wisdom truly see that the body, which is the source of the suffering, is about to die, the mind won't suffer. The suffering will only enter in body only. The Buddhas used to say that when suffering enter, it only stay in the body realms, not the mind. While for other people, when body is sick, the mind also becomes sick because they love the body. So if we truly are wise, we see that the body is not really any good stuff, then and then we see the mind, that the mind is also impermanent. Happiness only arises and falls away. When it has greed, angry, it's only impermanent. Look in the past, whether happiness is only impermanent. For some people, they might feel that suffering lasts so long, like when we have a broken heart, it's like the whole world will go away. But one day that suffering is gone. Happiness is not permanent. Suffering is not permanent. Good or bad, anything is not permanent. You may want to really be focusing one day. Like you made up your mind that you will read the book for the whole night, but then only for a few hours, you went to play instead. See that the goodness doesn't last either. Do you know the greed? Greed is you want to be this and that. That wanting only lasts for a while, and then it goes away. Anger? Can you see that anger that comes into our life, it comes and goes away. Some people, when they have broken heart, they are very upset. They made up their mind that they won't see this person again, but then your ex-boyfriend come back, and then you become very happy. This means that you are very, take it very easy. Nothing is permanent. Anger or the mind that is scattered, lost in thought. Has it happened? Spend the whole day in your thoughts, but for some time it will go away. Or depression. Depression stay and go away, unless you really have the symptoms, like the physical or psychologically depressed. This is a sickness. But for all other people, depression comes, sadness comes, and when friends tell funny jokes, then it goes away. If we have wisdom, then we see that nothing is permanent. Happiness is not subject to our command, goodness or bad things. So we keep learning until the mind is no longer hungry. The mind is always hungry for the happiness, wanting the happiness. It thinks that happiness comes with the good side, like movies. Do we see the movies in order to suffer? No, we want happiness. When we listen to music, we want happiness. When we find food, good food, it's for happiness. Or even talking to people, we just want happiness. The mind is always hungry for this happiness. When suffering arises, we really suffer. and then we make it worse by maybe drinking alcohol. We do anything to get happiness, but then happiness doesn't stay. If the wisdom is really strong, then we know that nothing is permanent. And when the mind is fulfilled, it is actually happy within itself. Arahat is no longer people who already attained Nibbana, who no longer be hungry. But for other people, like stream enterer, still hungry. For the non-returner, they are no longer one physical things, but only the mind, the happiness in the mind that they want. Does the happiness and tranquility permanent? No, those things are also impermanent. Say, like you practice enough and then you become Brahma, and that gives you the peace for a while, and then it falls away. All the feelings arises and falls away. When happiness arises, when you have wisdom, the mind will not get lost in it. And then when there is suffering, the mind will not be overwhelmed with any goodness or bad things. The mind that gets lost is always shaken. Take notice of your mind. It is either good or bad. Just take notice of the truth. The Buddha doesn't tell us to believe him, but he just asks us to just see the truth. The happiness is impermanent. Suffering is impermanent. Keep watching, and then wisdom will occur that everything is impermanent. Happiness. If we know that everything is impermanent, our mind will be impartial. We won't hate the happiness, we won't hate the suffering. The happiness that we know always depends on things outside us. Even the happiness of the Brahma, they still depend on jhana. And then when they come out of that jhana, it's suffering again. But one day, when the wisdom is really true and the mind is smart, that everything happens on its own, it's not under our command, the mind will enter the impartiality. Even the world can shatter in front of us, the mind will not be shaken. Even we are dying, the mind will not be shaken, because the mind is fulfilled, because it can accept the truth. These days, when we are suffering in the mind, all of them come from the fact that we cannot accept. When happiness comes, we want it to stay forever. We cannot accept the fact that it doesn't last. When suffering comes, we want it to go away. Everything is not subject to our command, it's subject to its cause. As long as there is a cause, it still stays. It's not up to us. So if we have true wisdom, we will see that nothing is permanent, everything is perishable. The mind will accept the truth. Say, if we can accept the fact that this body will be old one day, when the hair become white one day, we will be okay with it. Raise your hand to have any white hair. Think about when you have the first white hair, the very first one that you see. It hurts. Can you remember that feeling? Or maybe you never have any white hair before, but all your face look like you might have one. You look like an antique. Do you remember the first wrinkle?
doesn't it hurt? Because we can't accept that fact that we will become old. When we go to our annual checkup, and then we found that we are at the last stage of the cancer, or the first stage of cancer. The case that I experienced, the person only has the first stage of cancer. And then when he got home, he was died out of that shock because he has cancer. He died not because of the cancer, because he cannot accept the truth. Heartbreaking, heartbroken. Does it hurt? Anyone can raise their hand, including the nun. The nun is thinking whether I can raise my hand. Is it okay? So when we have a broken heart, isn't it suffering? Because we cannot accept the truth that this person will not stay with us forever. Actually, nobody stays with us forever until we die, except if you die together in accident. We cannot accept the fact that the loved ones will go away and then we will suffer. If we can accept that, what we will do? We will change our hair. Mostly, if the girls have a broken heart, they will cut their hair like a new start. But what will the guys do? So, is there any guys here have a broken heart before? What do? Cry? Oh, you find a new girlfriend. You really are optimistic. And then when you find a new girlfriend, you become broken heart again. But the second broken heart doesn't hurt as bad as the first one. Anyone have many broken hearts? You notice that each of them is different pain? So the second time or the latter ones, you know that there's a possibility that you'll be dumped. So the fourth and the fifth times, you get used to it. Why? Because your mind can accept that. Whenever you can accept in the mind, when you can accept the truth, that nothing that comes to our life in the mind or through the body, everything is subject to change. It's not subject to our command. If we can accept this, then there's no suffering. Broken heart, that's normal. It's like we just go our way. We love each other, we just go part way. Even if not today, then one day. Anyone has an old parent, so, and then you lost one of the parents, it's difficult to just lose two at one time. Usually you would lose one. So people at your age, prepare yourself. People of our age stay in a very small family. Things will happen. Say like the kid departs and go to study abroad, that you don't stay together anymore. Or even a small family, husband and wife, husband working at night and wife work during the day, they only see each other one time when they're asleep. And if one of them passed away, the remaining just stay alone. Lots of foreigners don't stay with the family because the child already leave home very early. We all will have this one day. The society become like a singular family. Kids will leave the family very fast. People at Long Po's age. So when our parents build a house, they will build a very big house or try to buy a very big land or have a lot of bedrooms so that their kids can stay in the same house. But these days, the house are neglected. If one person dies, the remaining person is really sad. When I went abroad and I look at the bridges, I can see that they really have the the way to prevent people to jump off the bridge, preventing them to commit suicide. And I asked people around, a lot of people committed suicide, even though they are wealthy and the government pay their welfare very well. They have everything in the world, but they're lonely, so they take their own life. Why is that? Because they can't accept the fact that they are alone. But when we are born alone, and when we die, we also die alone. Buddhism teaches us to understand the truth of life. Life is made of this body and mind. When we accept the fact that this body and mind is suffering, impermanent, and it doesn't have a core. Impermanent means something that exists and it goes away. Dukkha or suffering means something that is here now and is about to disappear. Anatta or non-core means something that is not self. So everything is under this three law of existence. But people never really learn about it. Anything that happens to the body or the mind, they can't accept it. When they can't accept it, what happens? Suffering occurs. The suffering in the mind will arise. So now we turn to learn the truth about this body and mind. The method to learn the body and mind is the method that the Buddha called Vipassana. The name Vipassana can be scary. Vipassana Kammathan means that it's the place where there is the work. That's what Kammathan means. It's where the work is. It's not like you don't have to do anything, you have to work. Vipassana, so the word pasana means to see. We is true. So it's the word to see the body and the mind as they are, according to truth. Don't be scared by the Pali words. Like vipassana can be something scary that you don't understand. It's quite simple. A lot of people can say that they teach Vipassana and they label it, but it might not be the case. For people who truly practice Vipassana, if they really do it like they say everywhere else, they would be out of suffering. There are 200,000 monks in Thailand. How many of you think that 50% of those monks are good monks? Raise your hands. 10% of good monks? 10%. Raise your hands. Less than 10% of good monks? Lots of people raise their hand. You are really pessimistic, or are you looking at it as they really are? We are really in a bad society. Some people say monks are bad, and they want the lay people to govern all the monks. But then laymen are also not bad as well, because bad monks come from bad laymen. If our society are a good one, monks will be good. We all say that monks don't have any precepts or any dhamma, but then ask yourself, do you have self-discipline in all the principles? But the good monks with the true aim in their life, there is. But then it just not appears in the news. Did they ever talk about the monks who keep doing the walking meditation until they hurt themselves? No, the news never say. The news keeps saying that, talking about the monk kicking the dog or the monk kicking the layman. But monks doing meditation, nobody really talk about it. Good or bad, we don't know. But use our head. Don't just Don't just say that they are good or bad just because you think. It's the people that you spend time with that you can judge. Anyway, Vipassana Kammathan is simple. It's to learn the truth about our body and mind. Before we can learn the truth about body and mind, the first stage, you have to feel or see this body and mind. When we are mindless, if we have a body, then we forget about this body. If we already forget about this body, we cannot see the truth. Therefore, we have to see the body first in order to see the truth. And then when you, if you see, you see that the mind will change all the time according to what the body see. When we see something, our mind will change. If we are lost in thought or mindless, do you know mindless? If you are mindless, you are happy or suffering, you don't even know. Have you ever seen people who are upset about to hit someone? At that time, do you notice the person only see some the other? They don't see themselves. Anyone here drive? Has you been someone cut you in the front? Are you angry? Of course. If you're not angry, you are a bit different. And when you're angry, what do you do? Do you know that you are angry? No. You actually point and look at that person, you. You look at the other. It's not hard to see ourselves, but we just ignore it. Our mind is angry, we don't look at it. We look at the object that makes us angry. When there are pretty girl walking by, we just lost with that pretty girl. And we think that it's so pretty, we don't look at ourselves. So some girls also like pretty girls, and it's hard to distinguish between a boy or a girl. So these days, when it's very difficult for me, sometimes when people want me to bless by the touching of their head, I really have to look hard if it's a boy or a girl. Most people like to see something outside and ignore the world within. Luang Pu Dun taught me that practicing is not hard. It's hard for people who don't practice. Like right now, you're sitting. Do you feel that? Try nodding your head. Can you feel that the body is nodding? Move your hands. Can you feel that the body is moving? You don't even have to look. When you're moving, you can feel. Breathing out or breathing in, can you feel? Yes, you can feel. It's not hard. We ignore it. We only care about the sight, about the taste, about the sound. Care about the subject in our mind, and then we forget to feel or see the body or the mind. So first of all, don't get lost in things outside. When you are angry, just come back to the mind and notice that the mind is angry. When you are angry, your face changes. Can you feel that? When you are angry, are you pretty? When you look into the mirror, when you are angry, it's really ugly and scary. When we are greedy, the face is also changed and it's ugly. Some people just look very ugly when they're overwhelmed with greed. They never see themselves. They are overwhelmed by all the feelings. When they are angry, they look at the person who makes them angry. When they love, they look at the person who makes them love. If they are sent through the nose and they are scared or like it, they don't know it. Like when you're at home and you can smell a nice flower smell, that's in the aircon room, but then you get a good smell without any flowers at all. How do you feel? Are you happy? Oh, some angels come to visit me, or is it a ghost? But then if it's an incense stick, it will become a bit scary, especially when you went to a funeral and you came back and smell incense. It's pretty spooky. Or when you smell something rotten, you really are worried or concerned what died in my house. You don't really know that your mind is actually have that concern. Oh, but if you're at the temple and you start to smell something rotten, you won't know that you are. Your mind is scared. You will look around for ghosts. So practicing is not hard when you're sitting. Just feel it. When it's nodding, see it. Or when the mind is happy, just keep feeling that. When the mind has the greed and then or delusion, just know yourself. It means knowing the body and knowing the mind. Just keep feeling that. And then when you keep seeing that, you will see the truth of the mind and the body. The body is like a shell that the mind resides in. The body is just an element with different types of elements flowing in and out, like the breath or sweat. It's not really ourselves. And the mind itself is full of impermanence. Happiness, angry, suffering is not permanent. It's not hard. When there's happiness or suffering in the mind, just keep feeling it and we'll come to the wisdom and conclusion that nothing in the mind lasts long. It's impermanent. That's called vipassana. It's simple as that. Like when you go shopping and then you walk past. I know a girl who only meant to go to shopping mall just to get the aircon, and with the mindset that she wouldn't buy anything. But then she became mindless for a few minutes, walk out of the shopping mall with lots of bags already. That mindless make blind us from seeing anything inside. We don't know that we have that wanting. So when there's wanting, then we look into our mind first, and then reasons will come whether we should buy or not buy. In our house, are there anything at all in your house that we feel is important to buy, but then we never touch it for a year? Like shoes, bags, shirts, but in a year we didn't even touch it. Do you have them? Donate them. If you donation, we'll make better use of those stuff. And then one day when you want to pick it up, you didn't touch for a year, it will become out of fashion. When the mind has the wanting, you don't see it. If you have mindfulness, you actually will have more money because you won't spend money like that. This mindfulness is actually has a lot of use, not just for vipassana, but for worldly matters as well. For vipassana, you see the truth of the mind, and one day you will be liberated. If it can let go of the body and mind, then it comes to liberation. It can be used in the world as well. Keep knowing yourself. A lot of my students have short tempered, and then they have lots of accidents, and then usually nothing happened to them. People has a rumor that it's magical that my students don't really have accidents. What they have really is mindfulness. So when accidents come and the mindfulness will automatically arise, it will see that the car is turning, it will see different shots of happening like a slow motion movie. And when there's danger happening, you can avoid it. They might got really hurt, but then it become less. Like when they become sick, seeing the doctor, other people might be really worried, but if we know how to practice, you will see that the pain actually, there are two of them. the one is the pain in the body, the other is the pain in the mind. The mind actually make the body pain worse because it's focusing that. And if we practice enough, the pain is only limited to the body. The mind will be seeing it only. We'll see the doctor is working on our body. The mind won't feel that they are hurting us. So this way, the pain only limited to the body. Like for girls, when they have period, they really have pain, and they really need a very strong medicine. For people who practice, when they already practice, when it happens again, they would see that the mind is one thing and the pain is another. The mind that usually make the pain worse. Then when they see this, the pain really become less, and they can just live without the painkiller. Or for some people who really have a bad pain when they're in hospital and they need morphine, usually the practitioner, sometimes they can really let go of the painkiller because they see that the mind is a different thing, and the mind won't make the pain become worse. When we are practicing, when there are emergencies in our life, anyone here has children, anyone here thinking that the children may die before us, nobody really think that, and you don't want to think that either. Anyone thinking that our parents will die before us, can you see that usually people think this way? So when your parents pass away, you have less suffering than if the children die. So keep practicing, learn the body and learn the mind, and then it can accept the truth better. Let's say when you go home and then you heard the news that your child has passed away, do you suffer? Yes, but it becomes less. Suffering is still there, of course, because you are not yet the non-returner, but then it's at acceptable level. For some people, if their husband already got sick, then the wife, the healthy wife, becomes sick too. It's normal. If you listen to me only once and this is the first time, it could be difficult. This is normal, but study from the CD or YouTube. But when you look at YouTube, find my teaching. I'm not telling you to find the movies. So look in YouTube and then spend like a month or two or few months, and then you will start to understand. Within 3 months, usually people will understand what I'm teaching. In a month or two, you will notice that the mind and the life has changed. It's like a reborn. You become a true Buddhist. That it's reborn. Life changes like we are truly awake. And all your life, only the body is awake, the mind is never really awake. And when you listen to the teaching enough and you awake, it's like a new person. You will know by yourself, and people around you will also notice it. It happens sometimes, like one guy, the wife used to be really, really nagging all day. So the husband came to listen to me, trying to figure out what I did to change the wife. And the face is even better. Your face can change when you keep practicing. Your face will be better because there's happiness and fresh in the mind. So when the husband came and find out, in the end, the whole family are practicing. And when that happened, the whole family is really happy. Practice this type of teaching. If there's no Buddha, you won't find it. The best you can find without the Buddha is normal samatha meditation. But vipassana will not exist without the Buddha. And in order to understand Dhamma until you reach Nirvana, you will have to learn the body and mind. When the mind understands the truth and accept the fact that this body and mind is impermanent, if you see that the body and mind is not self, you become a stream enterer. And one day when you reach the Arahat level, you will no longer be suffering. This is the science to end the suffering. Some people say that they are a Buddhist, but then it's only by name. The Buddha, what the Buddha teach, they never really know. They only say they are Buddhist, but only do the good deeds on the birthday. A lot of practice that people are doing is not really the Buddhist. The true Buddhist will depend on themselves and stand on their own legs. Don't believe in anything that is not reasonable. So practice, and one day we will really have the true happiness because it doesn't suffer. One day we will be truly liberated because we are unbound. The master, which is the greed that always puts us around, will go away. Or the wanting that happened in our mind will no longer want. If we truly see that this body and mind is the suffering matter, when you really see the truth at that moment, you will be liberated. Whenever you see the suffering, you will be liberated at that moment. It's a miraculous science, and it can be tested and proved by true practice. And when you really practice and you see results, you will really have faith in the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha found the simple and ordinary Dhamma is really simple. Smile. Can you feel that you are smiling? Isn't it simple? It's not like you have to have different poses. You have to do this, have to do this, don't do this, don't do that. It's not like this. This is too stressful. That part only leads you to the shrink. Keep breathing. When you breathe out, breathe in, feel it. Breathe with mindfulness, and then concentration will happen. And then when there's concentration, you see all the matters, everything arises, the mind is the seer. And when the mind has that concentration, it only becomes a watcher. And when you see the mind as they really are, the body as they really are, that's vipassana. Okay, it's time. How many people are submitting, having questions? Just ask briefly. The last time that I asked you a question is about 2 years ago. You told me to keep practicing. Can you feel that there's a change in your body and mind? I see that there's a change, and then it passed that point. It no longer change. Longpo say at the beginning, you see that it changes a lot. It's like another world. And then cultivating wisdom, you just keep collecting them. It might feel like forever before it comes to another changing point. She asked for Longpo's suggestion. If anything she has to rectify, Longpo say, don't ask about rectify or fixing anything. Just know, and then look into yourself. Investigate. The Buddhists learn themselves. like right now, your mind is a lot different than in the past. All the aggregates, all the body and mind has become separated. She says sometimes it's not really clear. Longpo said it doesn't have to be clear all the time. If it's clear all the time, then it's a fake one. Like right now, what she's doing, it looks like a fake one. The intention is different. You can't forbid it. Longpo said, just know that right now, at this moment, the mind is like this. This is practicing. It's not that, not this. You must do this, you must not that. No, it's not like that. Just notice that everything changes. Keep watching that. Everything changes. It takes long. It depends on how much we have practiced in the past. Next verse. Longpo said you have to have more strength. So sometimes you are whining. She say like some subject is she's really soft and she asked what to do, what to fix the whining, and Longpo said no, I told you not to fix anything. When you feel that it's whining again, just keep watching it directly, and then the mind will become the watcher of that whiny part. Right now it's overwhelming. Okay, next person. Are you scared? Longpo thinks so. She listened to Longpo from YouTube when she was abroad, and she tried practicing, and then it's really exhausting. And afterward, she kind of gave up because it's exhausting. It's like she's following the thoughts and it just keeps going. Longpo said that means you are doing it wrong. If you put a lot of intention, it's unnatural, it's exhausting. Make it natural and it will be simple and happy. If you think that you have to do something, can you feel that the mind feels like it has to do something instead of knowing the mind and body as they really are? That way is not tiring. But if you try to stop it from doing that and make it do this, just keep intervening all the time, that's exhausting. She talked about the events in the past that really hurt her. Like, she was angry and she cannot stop that anger. Longpo say it's not about stopping it. So she say she keep the stick and she hit herself with the stick to come back. Longpo said it looked like a muscle kiss. Why is it so cruel? She said she's really dived down in the depression. So Longpo said just be careful, don't get used to it. And Longpo said, just make up your mind, suffering won't happen just once. There are suffering in the future as well. And if you are not prepared yourself for it, you will be suffer like this again. So every day, make up your mind to keep the 5 precepts and then practice. And as the offering to the Buddha, breathe in, breathe out, and know yourself, think of the Buddha, and breathe. And then when you keep doing this, the mind, when the mind becomes happy and have the strength, and then learn the body and mind. Longpo asked the people who sit on the very far side, just move over to the middle so Longpo doesn't have to really look. But don't sit next to the nun. Thank you. Okay, next person. My question was long time ago.
Long Po said he's still forcing himself to practice. 3 years ago, Long Po recommended that he just watch his mind and worries. Long Po said some people, when they practice, they thought they have become a stream enterer or attained Dhamma, but he recommend to just take notice. And he was watching, following what Long Po said, and then when he kept watching, he learned that it's actually samadhi or concentration. And he found out. Long Po said that Long Po told him to look at it himself, and because if someone told him, he wouldn't see it, but he has to learn by the experience. He would teach the student to stand on their own legs. Long Po said, can you notice that when thoughts arise, there is self behind that thought? And if you just concentrate it, it feels as if there's no self. He said that he noticed that self doesn't arise because of the concentration power. He noticed that when there's no concentration, it arises. And he said that he decided to ordain for all his life. Long Po said that by becoming a monk is not a solution. And he said that as a layman is not a continuity. Long Po said it's normal for laymen not to have that continuity because all the wanting and the mind just keep going to get all the subjects outside. But for Long Po himself, I practiced since I was a layman. And when I practice this way, when I become a monk, I become really happy. The mind that is really obsessed with practicing like this, when you become a monk, it will be even worse. He said his mind is really obsessed. And Long Po said, don't be obsessed. A monk is actually suitable for people who have less obsession already, and then for people who still have that obsession, it wouldn't help becoming a monk. It would be really stressful. And the other matter that make the monkhood not suitable for him is because he's still stuck with the concentrating very hard, over focusing, and monkhood will make him the condition become worse. Being a layman, ordinary life will make the mind just running here and there all the time. Long Po encouraged him to think about it. He doesn't stop him from becoming a monk. He asked if he become a monk and can he go and learn with Long Po. There are lots of monks at the temple. It's okay. And Long Po say that being a layman is easier, especially for him to practice. It's easier when the mind is shaking. It's easier to see. The obsession and all the wanting, if mindfulness
is there, wisdom is there, you won't be obsessed. So the next person asking if he does the formal meditation every day and demonstrating like this is a bit stiff. Can you feel that your mind changed when you're about to practice? It becomes stiff and you force it to become calm. He feels that lately it's more natural. Longpo confirms it. And it's better, but the mind is still scattered a lot. For people who really lost in thought all the time, pick one type of meditation and don't force the mind to become still. If you're forcing the mind to become still, when you stop forcing it, it will become even more lost in thoughts. So for people who really want to become a good person, usually they would force themselves. They're used to forcing the mind. And when you stop forcing the mind, usually you become a worse person. Anger will arise. Like the sage in the jungle, when they do the sitting meditation, any insects coming around, he wouldn't feel anything at all because he's containing and focusing. It's momentarily only. Don't try to get a lot of it. It's moment by moment. If trying too hard, that's actually greed. Practice like this every day. When the mind gets lost, just see that the mind is lost, not forcing the mind to be still. When I was in Kanchanaburi many, many years ago, there was an old lady that has been practicing and was really stuck in that concentration and focusing for 60 years. She said that she noticed that the mind doesn't work anymore, the mind didn't cultivate any wisdom, and asked Longpo to help. And I looked into it, and if I fix it, all the 60 years of forcing the mind, keeping it calm, she would have to pay back. It will be really scattered, lost in thought, all the defilements will arrive. So at that age, it's difficult to fix, especially if she becomes old age, and then if she died at that time, it might lead her to a very bad place. So she recommend that the old lady to keep feeling her body so that when the next Buddha comes, she can still come and learn the Dhamma from the next Buddha. So by forcing the mind and not feeling the body, it's unfortunate, because if there's no body in the next life, then you couldn't really learn Dhamma. Even though your mind is really has a lot of virtue, like in the old day, like the Buddha wanted to teach his own teachers, and he looked, and then those teachers already passed away and become a bodiless Brahma. And then the Buddha say that it's really unfortunate to born without the body because they cannot learn Dhamma without. So learning the concentration but wrongly can be also bad. Just keep the mindfulness, keep noticing when the mind runs away, and then just keep noticing. Just see that the mind runs away, lost in thought, not forcing it to stay still. Next question. I'm practicing since I was a student, and now I'm working. At work, I see suffering, anger, and then wanting, anger all the time. So different when I was a student. I felt like the mind was being pushed all the time. That's correct. So when there's happenings, everything is arises in your mind, even the when you attain the mind, is also the Nibbana also happen in the mind. And Longpo said that it's not happening yet. Don't let those emotions overwhelmed. Don't give into it until you violate the precepts. Keep practicing and you have the strength and have self-confidence. Right now, you don't. It's not confident yet. So right now, you're a bit forcing yourself, Longpo said. Right now, it's a bit over-focusing, forcing it to be still. Let it go. Forget about practicing. Look around. There are lots of pretty girls in this room. See, you break through the over-focusing. Now he's focusing again. So go and feel everything like normal. And when the mind likes it, just know. So the recommendation is not to stay alone. Just feel everything coming in. But then when things arise, don't have the discipline. Can you see that your mind changed? Can you feel that it has changed? She could see it too. Longpo said that I thought you wouldn't make it because you think too much. But now you're out of it already. Your practice is good. She said it's like almost like she say the shadow of self. Not sure if she really sees. Longpo say no, not really. Don't rush into it. Just see as they really are. When you think too much about it, it's actually an obstruction. Longpo say it's really much better. The body and mind is separated, like the aggregates become different. Next, he practiced chanting, but earlier on it was stiff. Longpo recommended him to look at the body and see the three existence. Longpo say when you look at the body and then try to cultivate the wisdom, he said that after a while when you look at the body, it backs to samatha, meditation, as a rest, meditation practice is like a break, and when cultivating wisdom is like an acceleration. It has to have balance. Let it work. Like this is much better than in the past. Have to notice yourself. When the mind is really lost and scattered, practice meditation. When the mind has a good concentration, look at the body and mind working. He asked if he chant and the mind become really stiff. Then Long Po said, yeah, at that time, just look at the body. Learn the body. And then when you learn the body, it will be just right. See the body working. And when there are feelings come arises into the mind, you know. And then when it keeps on like this, it will become scattered. But then go back to meditation. For people who walk the path of concentration meditation and learn the truth, they have to go back and forth this way. So after the meditation, learn the body, because in the concentration meditation, not a lot happening in the mind. Learn the body. So learning the body is suitable for samatha practitioner, but watching the mind is for vipassana path. So for example, like when we do the chanting putto putto putto, and then the mind run to think about something else, then know it. Don't try to pull it back, otherwise it becomes stiff. Long Po talk about the conversation with Khun Mat and Lee about the practicing, that he used the breathing meditation, and Khun Mat and Lee used the chanting putto putto putto, and when the mind runs away, it comes back. It all falls into the same principle. You can use the breathing as a tool, and when the mind runs away, just know. This is my first. I know you from YouTube 6 months ago. Now I'm trying to have mindfulness in everyday life. All my friends already have a chance to ask questions and submit my homework. Long Po asked, can you see that the body and mind is not the same thing, and the good and bad, and the mind is actually a different substance? So you can actually see the aggregate. Everything arises and falls away. The body that is breathing out arises and falls away. Body breathing in arises and falls away. The mind that is happy, good or bad, it arises and falls away. When we see different aggregates as a distinguished item, we see that nothing really has a core or a non-self. When we are practicing, all that we see as one unit will be separated. So body will become one unit, and mind will be the other. Can you feel that the body is not self? It actually feels automatically. You don't have to fake it. It's automatically. Happiness and unhappiness, greed is not self. Can you feel that everything is the subject that you know? Even the mind is not subject to command. You can't force it to be good all the time. Just keep watching and wisdom will arise. What you're practicing is just right and correct. She asked for a commendation, Long Po said, I already gave you loads. When is the next time I should ask the question again? Long Po tell him to just notice yourself. When is time that you have questions just come? This is my first. Long Po asked if you like over-focusing. He said it's better, but still over-focusing. Asking for recommendation. Long Po said, watch the body. So people who are stuck in over-focusing, the best is to watch the body. Look at different body parts. Separate them, that they are not self. When it's walking, see that the body is walking, not I walk. See, it's doing this and that, it's not really I. Keep watching. I've been following you for 5 years. This is my first homework. I did the chanting like body moving. I over focus too much and don't know how to cultivate wisdom. First, I got your book. And one day I lie down and do the meditation. In the past, when I saw images, I would think that, oh, I see, and wanted to go away. But this day, when images appear, it just falls away. And images reoccur, and I see, and then it falls away. I see it as different shots. After a while, I saw this and I fell asleep. And then when I'm awake, Long Po said that it doesn't come back to the mind. You've been spending time looking at all the images arising. It doesn't come back to the mind. And then it just lost it that in those images or nimitta and fell asleep and then become radiate. Just come back to the mind, whether the mind is happy or unhappy with those images. It's not, it doesn't matter if it's real or unreal. Like if we are meditating, let's say, we can see a ghost next to us. We come back to our mind. If we are scared of that ghost, come back to the mind. If it's real, if it's unreal, when you come back to the mind, it will disappear. But when you come back to the mind, we still say that's a real ghost. So in my daily life, I see that anger arises and falls away and it becomes annoyance. Long Po said that it's, the mind is used to just keep that mindfulness all the time. Everything else arises and falls away, but this controlling mind is actually staying. If you can see that mindfulness arises and falls away, and then you will, you, the practice will be fruitful. But whatever he's doing, it is actually a wholesome deed.